أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. We're back for another episode of Islam in Focus, one I think will prove to be very interesting. Today we are continuing with our 30th program in our series dealing with the sources of Islam, and we'll be discussing or continuing our discussion which we began last week of the possibility of the prior existence of the Quran prior to its revelation to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. I'm your host, Hamid Rashid, and I have joining me on the program as usual Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Brother Jamal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Could I have you very quickly summarize and highlight the main points that we touched on when we began this discussion last week?
Sure, but before I do that, Brother Hamid, may I make a suggestion to the viewers that this program may require some note-taking for those who wish to examine the evidence presented, and since there are lots of evidence, there probably wouldn't be enough time to go in each one of them in greater detail. So may I suggest for those who wish to explore and investigate for themselves, just to get a pen and paper ready, just to take note of the surah or chapter number and passage or verse, so that they could check it at a later time. But what we tried to present basically last time is that there seemed to be a clear evidence that the entire Quran pre-existed prior to its piecemeal revelation to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And he said that that pre-existence could not be except really in the knowledge of God. To give some background of this, we indicated that the Quran was not all revealed at once. It was revealed in piecemeals over a period of 23 years. And then we said that this period can be divided also into two major sub-periods, about half and half, almost 13 years and 10 years. The first period is known as the Meccan period, that is prior to the migration of Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Medina. The other 10 years, approximately, is the period in Medina, after the Prophet migrated to Medina. So there's the Meccan Quran and Medinite Quran, or portion of the Quran. And then it was indicated also that while the Quran, both Meccan and Medinite Quran, is divided into 114 surahs, quote-unquote chapter, the word surah is a better one, not every surah was revealed and completed before moving to the second surah. That's another feature in the Quran, that sometimes a few verses would be revealed from this surah and it's incomplete, a few verses or passages would be from that surah, so you could have several incomplete surahs in one point of time or the other, and then later on, of course, when the revelation was completed, every surah was completed. The third observation is that the order in which the surahs are put in the Quran are different from the chronological revelation of each portion of those surahs. But what we find to be even more amazing is that while the Quran was revealed in this unique way, without any particular chronology the way it appears today in the Quran, after the revelation is completed in 23 years, if you look at any particular surah, one of the 114, regardless of where it was revealed, how long, how many years even it took to be revealed, like Surah Al-Baqarah we mentioned, took 9 years to be revealed, regardless of the events that it came to comment on, there is perfect fit, both in terms of the rhyme or the style of the surah, as well as the continuity of the meaning. And that would be simply incredible and impossible for any human authorship to do. Because even if a person can pre-plan all of that, how could anyone pre-plan the events that are going to take place in the future over a period of 23 years and author something to comment and direct on this particular events so that when everything is finished it fits perfectly, unless the designer is God himself.
Indeed. Well, the five examples that we explored last week. Some of our viewers may be curious to know whether or not these were specifically selected, or if they're unique, or if the same thing holds for other surahs or chapters in the Quran as well.
Okay, perhaps to explain that, maybe I just backtrack for a minute to what you mentioned in the previous program about the methodology that I tried to use in this kind of research.
Yes.
First of all, I give recognition and acknowledgement to stimulating my thinking in this particular new area, I should say, from the introduction by Abdul Qadir Atta in the book by As-Suyuti, Jalaluddin As-Suyuti, about the reason for the orders of the Quran. But he gave only a few examples and then started on my own. And what I did actually was to go through the entire Quran, mm-hmm, from beginning to end. Now, as mentioned before, the Quran is composed of 114 surahs. Now, not all of these surahs are necessarily ones that include a combination of Mekki and Madani revelation. I counted as many as 41, which has elements from both Meccan and Medanite period, which obviously shows quite a bit of the time lag, mm-hmm, between one portion and the other. And I should also, for intellectual honesty, say it clearly again that as far as the definition or designation of surahs as being mainly revealed basically in Mecca or Medina, I had to depend on the very common and very well accepted print of the Quran, which was done in Egypt under the supervision of Al-Azhar, the famous Al-Azhar University.
Yes.
In which there is some designation on the basis of available information as to which of these surahs were revealed in Medina, which were revealed in Mecca. And authorities in the Quranic studies indicate that there are 20 surahs which seem to be generally accepted as Medanite surah revealed, mm-hmm, in Medina. And there are another 82 surahs which are generally agreed to be revelation in Mecca. But to be honest, also there are another 12 surahs where there is some difference of opinion, unclarity as to whether it was revealed in the Meccan period or Medinite period.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting enough, I went through all of these 12 and I found that none of these 12 actually includes combination of Meccan and Medinite revelation. So it does not affect the conclusions that we are coming up with. Of course, there are also some authorities who would disagree with some verses, some, but not all, whether it was revealed in Mecca or Medina. So there are also all kind of differences of opinion in that, but the more general and widely accepted opinion is the one that I based on my research on, that is the designation of the surah, where it was revealed,
mm-hmm,
as well as the designation of certain portions in that surah as being revealed in a different place, whether it's Mecca or Medina. And to get to come then to the answer of your question with this background, no, these were not specially selected examples, the one that we talked about last time, because the research covered all 41 surahs in the Quran which has this combination, and these are not the only ones. The rest apply to the rest of the Quran, and I did examine carefully each variation.
Well, I think the topic is exciting and interesting enough that it merits some further examination. Could you give us some additional examples from the other verses that we haven't touched on, which would illustrate the point we've been discussing?
Okay, well, let me just give a couple of examples to start with. In Surah 9 in the Quran, we find that it is designated as a Medinite surah revealed in Medina, with one exception, that is the last two passages number 128 and 129. In order to show the continuity of the meaning, regardless of the time lag, as if it were just revealed at the same time, let me give you the background that summarized the context before these different verses were revealed. The verses before 128 simply talks about the reaction of the unbelievers when a new surah or new revelation came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that they look at each other and try still to persist in stubbornness and reject his message. Now, that's the Medinite part. The part that is different or revered in Mecca, it says, "There has come unto you a prophet from among yourselves who is very careful and worried about you perishing because of this," that is, because of this stubbornness. And then he is again try to protect you or provide, guide you unto the truth. And then it continues, "If they turn away, O Muhammad, say, suffice for me is Allah." In Arabic it says, "لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ." You notice here again that the context is continuing without interruption, as if it's just revealed at the same time. It talks about their stubbornness, and then it says that this prophet is very sad and very disappointed by your stubbornness. And then again, if you continue to persist in the error, suffice Allah for him. Again, nobody can feel that there's any difference in revelation at all. That shows again the pre-design. In Surah 47, again, this is a surah revealed in Medina mainly, except not just a few verses at the end, one in the middle. Imagine verse 13, out of so many verses, that just number 13 in the middle of the surah is different and was revealed in Mecca. Now, or actually in the way between Mecca and Medina, when the Prophet was migrating after persecution. So that's a different place of revelation altogether, in different time frame. Now, if you go back to the context before that different verse, number 13, was revealed, you find that it talks about the unbelievers and how they eat and enjoy themselves as animals do, and that the fire would be their destiny. So it talks about their resistance, their stubbornness, their rejection of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and their persecution of him. And now comes 13, just in the middle, and it says how many a village which was even stronger than that village or township that drove you away, O Muhammad, that we destroyed them in the past, and they could not find any supporters. You notice the continuity of the meaning. There is absolutely no, you know, gap or no editing needed. It flows very nicely as if revealed all at the same time, even though there's a big gap in between, time-wise.
Mm-hmm. Well, you gave examples of the surahs or chapters revealed mainly in Medina, with a few passages that have been revealed in Mecca. Mm-hmm. Does the reverse situation hold true as well?
Yes, the reverse also applies as well, because, as indicated earlier, the number of surahs revealed in Medina is relatively smaller. You got only about 20 out of 114. In fact, in my count, I found that there are only 6 surahs that were revealed in Medina, which had parts in the middle or at the end revealed in Mecca, that is prior even to migration. But the great majority actually of the other verses, that is all the rest actually, like 35 of the surahs, mm-hmm. were surahs which were mainly in Meccan period, that is in the earlier period, mm-hmm. with only some parts in the middle that was revealed later on in Medina. And that's even more surprising, because, you know, you're not just talking about some kind of completion or continuity in a sense of chronology, but you talk about surahs where the first part of the surah and the last part of the surah were revealed, for example, in Mecca in the earlier period, with some gap left. And then later on, after years, in Medina, in the Medinite period, another verse or few verses, most of them you find like 2 or 3 passages, were revealed. And then when you take it and put it back in that gap that was left deliberately for it, you notice that the meaning is continuous, which is amazing, you know, like beginning and end, not just a continuity. Beginning and end is in Mecca. In Medina, there's only something that fits right in the middle, as if that place was specifically reserved for that passage or a few passages of the Quran. I hope you don't mind it, but I have a big list here. I don't know how much you can cover of that, and it's impossible to go through all, you know, 35 surahs. I just start with some of them. Mm-hmm. What I'll try to do is to mention the surah number for those who wish to take notes, to mention whether the surah is Mecca or Medina. All of them, actually, I don't have to mention that. All of them are revealed in Mecca, so that is taken for granted. And then I'll mention the number of passages which are different, that is revealed in a different place, in a different time, that's Medina. And then I'll try again to save time, and instead of reciting the whole passage, this I'd leave to the audience to discover by themselves. But I'll just summarize the context before that different passage or passages emerge, that the ones that were revealed in Medina in a different place, and then talk about the context also after that, just to see whether the thing that came in the middle really makes any sense, if it's squeezed or if it perfectly fits in the flow of meaning before and after. Starting with surah number 10. Now, we find that passage number 40 is different. If we look at the passage before 40, you find that it speaks about the unbelievers rejecting the Quran, denying the Quran and its authority, and that it came from Allah. Now, the passage that's different, that was revealed in Medina, in a different place, it says, among them there are some who believe in it, that is in the Quran, and some who don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. The one that after that, it talks about, if they reject you, O Muhammad, that is in this claim of revelation, say, unto me is my deeds, unto you is your deeds. In other words, the context of all three together really speaks about the Quran. Rejection by the unbelievers, but some of them believe in it, but if they continue to disbelieve, say, suffice for you is your deeds, suffice mine is my deed. In other words, the flow of meaning does not seem to indicate at all that the one in the middle was revealed maybe years later in a different place altogether. Now, take another example from Surah 11, again a Makki Surah. You notice, for example, in in the same Surah, in passage number 114, again that's not necessarily beginning or end, it's just somewhere towards the end, but not exactly the last. The context before 114, it speaks about invitation or instruction to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to be upright as Allah ordained him, and also those who repented with him, and that they should not be inclined towards those who are oppressors. Okay? Now comes the different passage. Continuing to address the Prophet, it says, and establish the prayers, regular prayers, at the beginning and end of the day, and remember Allah. The context after it, it says, and be patient and persevere, because Allah loves those who are patient. You notice here three observations of interest. One, that in all three passages, including the one that came in the middle in a different place and time, all address Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and give him instruction. Being upright, establish prayer, persevere. That's one. Second observation is the perfect flow of meaning. Okay? Because it talks about repentance, it talks about establishing prayers and patience, so there's perfect fitting in terms of the flow of the meaning itself. The third observation is that that passage that came in the middle about establishing prayers at night came actually as a result of a question that was put to Prophet Muhammad. And that makes it even more incredible. As narrated in both Bukhari and Muslim, a man came to Prophet Muhammad and he said, I committed this error and so on. What should I do? So this verse was revealed, that is, establish prayer and, you know, day and night and so on, which could be an address to the Prophet and address to the person also. Mm-hmm. So here you get a different event altogether. In a different time, in a different place, when you put the three together, there is perfect fit and flow of the meaning. Take, for example, Surah number 15. And that's quite interesting also. The context before the different verse, which is 87, it speaks about the punishment or destiny of those who reject prophets, and then addresses Prophet Muhammad, saying, forgive them. So the address is to the Prophet. Then comes passage 87, which was revealed in Medina, different one. It says, we have given you, O Muhammad, the Quran. It refers to the given, using a term, Mathani, which refers actually to the Quran, or part of the Quran. The context of the passage after that, it says, don't you aspire to what we have given some of them. That is, don't aspire to some of the material thing that we endowed some because after all you have the Quran, that's what it means. Again, notice here, in all three passages, the address is given to the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In the different passage, it speaks about the blessing of the Quran. In the following one, it indicates that that Quran is better than any other blessing that anyone has got. A perfect flow of meaning, as in, as if, again, the three were revealed at the same time, same place. Another interesting passage in the Quran is 17, passage number 17. And here we find not only just one passage in the middle that is different in the whole surah, but we find three or four different places in the middle. In other words, if you divide it, let's say, in five, six portions, maybe portion one was revealed in Mecca, portion two in Medina, portion three in Mecca, portion four in Medina. In other words, there's a whole interspersed, something that would maximize the possibility of lack of consistency. However, if you look at it carefully, you notice that in passage 26, which is different, if you look at the passage before it immediately, it speaks about kindness to parents. It speaks about a person being repentant, so one aspect of moral teaching. And then comes 26, which is different and revealed in a different place. It says, and give the relatives the right, that is kindness and charity, and also the orphan, and do not be wasteful. And that ends here. The continuation, which was revealed long time before in Mecca, it says, those who are wasteful are the companions of the devils. This is most fascinating. In other words, the verse after 26, which is different, seemed to be a perfect continuation of the same theme, because one of them says, don't be wasteful. The other one says that those who are wasteful are the companions of the devil. And they were not revealed at the same time. Actually, the later one was revealed earlier than the first one. How it came together to fit with that perfect fitting. The second example in the same surah. You keep moving to verse or passage 32 through 33. These two passages. These again are not revealed in Mecca as the whole surah, or the major part of the surah. They are revealed in Medina. Again, looking at the context before them, it speaks about prohibition of killing children small, that is, female, male or female infanticide that some Arabs used to do because of fear of poverty. And it says that Allah provide for all of you, you shouldn't do that. So that's one moral teaching pertaining to preservation of life. Then comes the two passages, 32 and 33, revealed later in Medina. It seems to be continuing the same subject because it says, do not approach adultery or fornication. Do not kill the soul that Allah has made sanctified. Again, one of the major 10 commandments, if you will, as most people would identify them. All right. The one after that speaks about respecting the right of the orphans and not devouring their rights. You put all three together and there's a perfect fit. A number of moral teachings. In terms of the style, you notice that it starts in Arabic, wala, wala, don't you do, and don't you do this, which seems again to be a perfect flow without any editing, just as it is fitting, like a glove in the hand, like they say. Take another example from Surah 19, known as Mary, or Maryam, that's Mary, the mother of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. That surah was revealed mainly in Mecca, with the exception of two passages. One is passage number 57. The context before it, as usual, okay, it speaks about several prophets in history and praised them and their character. It talks about Prophet Abraham, Jesus, Moses, Ishmael, Idris, and so on. And after it finishes that, comes the different passage, number 57. It says, such are the ones that Allah has bestowed His blessing upon among the prophets and the close, holy, or pious people, and so on. The one after that, it says, but after them, i.e., after those prophets, those who followed them neglected their prayers and followed their own passions. Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's just almost like a description. You're talking about the prophets, and then the different verse revealed later in Medina is commenting that these prophets are among those whom Allah blessed, as if again they were revealed at the same time, which was not. Another example in the same surah, the passage number 71, and that's also equally amazing because it speaks about the punishment and the hellfire of those who reject the truth, and it ends actually with the description of the punishment and the fire. And then comes passage 71, revealed in a different place, in Medina, different time. And it adds, and, wa'in, and, none of you, that is none of you humans, except that he will pass over, that is, will pass over the hellfire and the day of judgment, that's called as-sirat, or the narrow path. And then the one after that, it says, but Allah will save those who are pious and righteous, and will let the wrongdoers and oppressors take their punishment. Again, a perfect flow of meaning, and the ayah comes right in the middle, fitting as if there is a particular niche,
mm-hmm,
specifically designed for it, where it fits. Take for example the in Surah 30. I'm just trying to be brief because there are so many of them. I had in fact tables of each one of them that we hope that sometimes we'll put together. In Surah 30, for example, you notice that passage number 17 is revealed in a different place, revealed in Medina. And the one after it, let's say 18 and on, were revealed before that,
mm-hmm,
in Mecca. However, you find that the order in which it appears in the Quran is the reverse order of the chronology, but the meaning is perfect in terms of fitting. Because 17, which is a different one revealed in Medina, it says, glory be to Allah when you when the evening comes and when you wake up in the morning. The following one that was revealed before that, it says, unto Allah are thanks and grace in heavens and earth in the late afternoon and when the day begins to decline. So both are speaking about remembrance of Allah, glorifying Him at different times of the day, again with the big gap and difference in order, reverse order, in terms of the time of revelation. But you can hardly see anything, walahu, just and continues with the same consistent meaning. In Surah 36, for example, this is again a Meccan surah. However, passage 45 was revealed later in Medina, in the middle of the surah. The context before it, it speaks about how Allah created for humans the ships to sail on, and that he could drown them if he will. And then comes the different verse. It says, when it is told to them that you should be careful, that is, you should heed, and so on. And then the next one says, whatever verses or signs come to them from Allah, they turn away from. Again, a perfect continuation of the meaning. In Surah 39, and again jumping over some, in 39, that's an amazing one too, because it speaks about repentance to Allah, the immediate passages before the different ones. The different ones here actually are the verses 52 through 55.
Mm-hmm.
These ones were revealed in Medina, unlike the rest of the surah. And it speaks about Allah providing for all humans and for those who commit evil or error, that the door is open for repentance, and it says that you should really follow the best revelation that has come to you from Allah before all of a sudden you face your penalty and you don't feel it. So it talks about penalty either in the day of judgment or at the time of death, that you should repent before it's too late. The ones that were revealed before that in Mecca, it says, in such time when people or a soul would say, I wish that I could done something better. In other words, the context of talking about repentance when it's too late, and that you will remember that time and regret that you did not repent early enough. We could, like I said, go on, and this is only a sort of few examples up to the surah that you covered, 39. And I have a few more. If there's time, next time we can just give a few examples. And
perhaps we can come back to it next week. We'll have to leave it for today because we don't have any more time left. But it's very excellent and interesting research that they're doing in this very area that's not commented on very much by the Jamal. Mm-hmm. We want to thank you for being our guest and invite you back next week. And we'll continue with this discussion. As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you.